My dear brethren and sisters in Christ, how good is it that our Creator is a Creator that has patience with us, that He's given us our lives, given us many days to improve ourselves, to do the best we can to give God the glory as we wait for Jesus to return. Now, I love that verse in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, that says that God's not slack. Now, I'm sure there are times when we've been slack ourselves, when we've said, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, no problem, I'll be there. And we haven't. We've been a little bit slack, or we've only given half of what we promised that we might give. And that is what we're here today to do. To appreciate the patience that God has provided in the giving of His Son. And when you think about Jesus in His life, what a great example of patience. He had the opportunity to take the kingdom by force if He wanted to, up front. He was the Son of God and He was given strength, not just physical strength, but above all mental strength, to overcome the adversaries that surrounded Him. We are very thankful that we have Jesus as our mediator. So when things have gone wrong in our lives, we have the opportunity to correct ourselves, to make amends. Okay? And that's, I guess, the whole purpose of this life, is to learn the lessons of life and where we can, focus our mind and our hope on God and the salvation that He has provided through Jesus. When I was a young boy, early on as an engineer, I had the opportunity to work in a drawing office. And this was a great experience and I really enjoyed it. Now, it wasn't like a modern drawing office with computers and AutoCAD where all the dimensions and shapes get built up for you. It was where you got given simple tools, pen and paper. And I remember turning up in this drawing office and I was up in a bit of a cubicle sort of attached to the main part because I was just the young guy, and it was an extremely hot part because the sun would beat down and very, very few windows. And you get given this board, a big board, and it has some rulers and some contraptions that you can spin and change angles and draw lines. And you got given a task to draw a part or design a part that would hopefully be drawn correctly so it could be made and put to use. And I'm sure you've heard of that phrase that life is like a canvas. And we all begin our lives with a blank canvas, and it's up to us to draw that picture or to bring out that character of what our lives represent or what we believe in and where we place our hope. And it's just like that work of art, but engineering drawings, you don't really see them often as works of art and on an artistic place or wall to look at, but I'm actually quite passionate about engineering drawings because when I was a young boy I learnt how to draw properly with ink and pen, with, you know, the very fine tips. You had thick lines for the outside of the object so people, when they look at the drawing, they could see what the object was. You had the thinner lines for all the dimensions and all the fine detail, like even the arrowheads had to be 3 millimetres long by 2 millimetres wide and straight, you know, sharp arrowheads. And so there was all these rules, and there's Australian, New Zealand standards that sort of dictate how a drawing is meant to look. So then someone else can pick it up and they can go, I know how to make that part and I can see how that part is going to be made. And it's a bit like us as we go through our lives and as we read the Bible. There's all these guidelines about what's going to make our part and our drawing or our picture look good. And if we follow those guidelines, when we take our drawing to the senior engineer, and I forgot to add this bit in, but there was this senior engineer, and he was the chief draftsman, okay? And when you finished a drawing, and drawings these days would take all day, all right? And sometimes you would lose concentration, and you'd do a little error. And the paper that you'd draw on was actually this clear transfer sheeting type thing. So if you shone a light through, you could actually copy through it or whatever. So unfortunately, you'd be drawing in ink, right? And if you made an error, it was hard to get that ink off. And you'd have this little box that you get given, and in that box was a razor blade. And if you made an error, you'd have to get out your razor blade, and this would take some time to do it really good, and you'd scrape away. Like this. And you have to wait for the ink to dry for a minute or so, and then you scratch a little bit. Now, if you're in a rush, you didn't do a very good job of it, and you'd actually scratch the transfer paper. And to be honest, you'd always see, if you held the piece of paper up to the light, where the error was. But if you were really good at it, then you could cover your tracks. So that when you went in to the senior draftsman, you'd hand over your drawing, and he was a very serious man with his glasses, and he'd look down, he'd look at you, look at the drawing, take all his time, wouldn't say a word. And then he might get his pencil out and just make a few notes and give it back to you, and back you went to improve the drawing, so your part would then be suitable to go down to the manufacturing place to be made. It was a great experience. And we will all have experiences in our life where we get opportunity to make those corrections. And we are thankful that our judge is patient. In our readings today, we've read about Samson and Hezekiah. Now, Samson was a man who was raised by God for a reason. We're told that God moved Samson to behave in the way that he did. But as we know, the time of the judges was a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Right? Everyone thought that their own way was right, and that there was no need to correct yourselves or to make yourself better. So that's the world that Samson lived in. So when we look at Samson's behaviour and his choices, that is set against the backdrop of probably a lot of people behaving like that. Yet we're told that Samson was a deliverer for Israel, and it's his work that he helped Israel to come away from the burdensome rulers of the Philistines. And so we're told that he judged Israel 20 years. But even better, Samson gets a mention in the book of Hebrews, as you know, as being a person of faith. So it's not all bad news for Samson. He obviously learned the lessons in his life and made corrections that he needed to. And even though he may have boasted in some ways and relied on his own strength, he did give God the glory and learnt his lesson. We then come to Hezekiah in that middle reading. A totally different person to Samson. Totally different. Totally different time. A time when the kingdom of Judah needed a righteous ruler. And so along comes Hezekiah, and we're told that he walked before God with a perfect heart. And he was responsible for a rapid spiritual turnaround, okay? So he could see all the errors that was happening with the people, and he realised that everyone needed a change of heart in their attitude, in their obedience to God's way. He cleansed the temple, he removed the high places, re-established the importance of the Passover, because how important is that? And defended Jerusalem from the Assyrians. In 2 Chronicles 31, we're told he sought his God with all his heart and he prospered. And brothers and sisters, if only we can turn and trust in God with all our heart, we too will prosper. Every day is a test of our character, just like it was a test of Samson's character and of Hezekiah's. And we will be helped in our efforts to seek, if we seek and please our God. God tested Hezekiah all the way through his life. And near the end, he was tested and he made a mistake. And we've read about this today. That when those people from Babylon came to inquire of his greatness, he showed them all his riches and all that he had done, rather than giving God the glory. And so we're told that it was Hezekiah's pride that let him down, and that brought judgment for the future generations. And then, of course, we know about the character of David, who was a man after God's own heart. And yet he made mistakes. Yet he had the courage to get the razor blade out, to scratch away, and to return to God. And that's why we read his words like in Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Words I'm sure that all of us would have referred to on the day of our baptism, for example. Very powerful words that if we approach God in the right way, our sins can be taken away. The mercy of our Heavenly Father and his patience is the way in which that can be done. While we're in Psalms, we'll turn over to Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And that's the attitude that we need, brothers and sisters, as we develop our drawing, the drawing of our life. And how good is it that we can come here and approach our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to search us. And that's what we do, isn't it? Before we partake of the emblems, we examine ourselves, we search, and we pray to be led in God's way. To be like Jesus, a man who was also given strength, a man who walked before God with a perfect heart, a man who overcame sin and death, and who has been promised will sit on that throne of David, who has been promised will return as that patient judge of all mankind. In a few days' time, we'll read the little book of Jude. And it's put just before Revelation, so you can find it. The last sort of paragraph from verse 21 to the end of Jude. So, brothers and sisters, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we can make a difference. And now is not the time just to be staring out the window, looking and watching the world go by. The signs in the world are pretty clear that Jesus will return real soon. So let's do what we can now to make a difference. To make our election and our calling sure. Because that is what we were encouraged to do in this letter from Peter that we've been reading today. So if we just turn back to our reading, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren and sisters, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life so that we could have the opportunity to enter that promised kingdom. And we thank him now that he is patient and that he is merciful, and we pray that he will help us make a difference.